Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. Welcome to The Good Life. How does God send a boy who grew up in Boston, earned a degree from a school in Waterville, Maine, to live for 18 years in Nigeria with his wife and four children? This is the story of George Rideout Jr., whose life intersects with Billy Graham, Roger Babson, founder of Babson College, the historic Park Street Church, the continent of Africa, two renowned foundations, and a school that emerged in Weston, Massachusetts, a school that prepares tomorrow's leaders, all centered in Jesus Christ, grounded in his word. As in Isaiah 6:8, George's life resounds, "Here am I, send me." We pause here, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, to remind you, well, dear friend, the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know the one who knows you and loves you no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. There's always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. If you've never opened your heart to Jesus, I believe this is your moment. The Lord is speaking to you and calling you. And if you know the Lord, well, I believe you're going to be encouraged, inspired by our time with George Rideout Jr., who graduated from Colby College and studied at Gordon Seminary before moving to Nigeria, where he and his wife Mary served as missionary math teachers. George leads the Gravity Research Foundation and Open Church Foundation, both founded by Roger Babson, with the strategic partnership of George's father, George Rideout Sr. George is also the chairman of the board of Veritas Christian Academy. George, welcome to our show.
Thank you, and good morning, Danny.
Take us back, George. I mentioned Wellesley, but tell us more. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Wellesley Hills, Massachusetts. I was born in Boston, 1945, right after World War II. And it was a wonderful life for me. My parents had six children. I'm one of six. And we all went through the Wellesley school systems. I was in Boy Scouts. I had a hobby of fishing. I had a close friend. We spent a lot of time down in Duxbury fishing in the ocean down in Cape Cod. It was great. We did go to a church when I was growing up, but that church did not really teach the gospel as you and I know. So I was not really a born-again Christian in my young years, my teenage years.
Who would you say, since we're there in your younger days, who would you say influenced you most, George, in those early years?
I think I was very close to my father. He is the one that I looked up to, and he went through the Depression. He graduated from Dartmouth College in 1933, and he couldn't get married until 1940 because he couldn't afford to. He tried to find jobs, and he got jobs, but I'm glad he waited till 1940 because he didn't meet my mother till February 1940, Valentine's Day. So if he had gotten married earlier, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today. So the Lord's timing is always perfect. And Dad was, a hard worker, a wonderful businessman. He had a lot of integrity. He loved his kids. And I spent a lot of time fishing with him as well. He was really good.
Do you remember things that your dad would say to you? Any words or phrases that to this day ring in your heart and mind?
The biggest phrase is, if you're going to do something, do it well or don't bother. And he lived like that. And I try to live the same way. If I do something, I try to do it well and thoroughly and to the best of my ability.
You saw some of the fruits of that, or a lot of the fruits of that, watching your dad. How did you become a Christian?
I became a Christian mainly through the Billy Graham Association. My mother was in our kitchen in Wellesley in April 1964, and she listened to the Billy Graham Hour of Decision Sunday night. And she was 44, and she decided that it's time to give her life to Christ and have a personal relationship with him. She grew up in a Christian family, but she was a little bit wild as a teenager and said, I'm going to put some of these things aside and enjoy life, but when I'm older, I will come back. And that's what she did. And so she heard that Billy Graham was going to come to Boston in September 64, and they needed counselors. So she signed up, got the training at Park Street Church in Boston to be a counselor. And she had one problem. She didn't like to drive in Boston. And so she asked my father if he'd be willing to drive her into the crusade. Well, my father was working for Roger Babson. He had three goals in life: money, power, and position. And he loved my mother, and he said, well, I'll take you in for three nights, but that will be it. So he took her in for three nights. He was sitting there listening to Billy Graham preach, and the Holy Spirit was working on his heart. And he felt an urge to call the chairman of the committee, Alan Emery, to see if he could get a private breakfast with Billy Graham the fourth morning of the crusade, because he needed to talk to him. So Alan Emery arranged the breakfast, and they were going to meet the next morning. But in the middle of the night, Alan Emery called up Dad and said, breakfast canceled, Billy Graham blacked out in his motel room. So they couldn't have the breakfast. So he decided to go in the fourth night to the crusade, and he heard Billy Graham preach, and in his own testimony said, there was a thunderstorm going on in my heart that night. Billy Graham was pointing his finger right at me when he was preaching, and when he gave the invitation that day, I was the first one to get up and go down and give my life to Christ. He was worried about me then. He came to know the Lord, and he wanted me to know Christ. So he called me up at Colby College, Waterville, Maine, and asked me if I'd come home for the weekend. I was a freshman and a little homesick. I said, sure. He drove 3 hours up and 3 hours back, brought me to the crusade Saturday night, and I heard Billy Graham preach that night, and I went forward after hearing just one night. And that was a blessing. Billy Graham followed up. They sent my name up to Colby Christian Fellowship, Waterville, Maine, and the advisor for the group got in touch with me, invited me to the Christian Fellowship, and I started reading the Bible and starting to grow in my new walk.
George, what went on in your heart? Your father described it as a thunderstorm in his heart. Mm-hmm. What was going on in your heart?
Well, there was no thunderstorm going on in my heart. I had actually heard my sister share the gospel with me when I was 12. She got training from Camps Crusade for Christ, and we were in our bedroom down in Cape Cod one winter evening. My brother was there, and she said, I need to talk to you guys. So she came, she read the four spiritual laws to us, And then she asked my brother and I if we'd like to pray the prayer and invite Christ into our lives. I said yes, my brother said no. So she asked my brother to leave the room. And so I prayed with my sister when I was 12 years old. The only problem was there was no follow-up. So for the next 6 years, I didn't read the Bible. I did some praying, but I didn't really understand the Christian walk. I wasn't getting any help from the church that I went to. And so I was just, you know, left with nothing for those next 6 years. So when I heard Billy Graham preach, I knew the message already, and it rang true to me, and I said, I need to do this.
There was a resonance that George Rideout heard because of a seed that was planted years before by his sister. Maybe you're a seed planter, and you've been planting seeds. Maybe you're perhaps a little bit discouraged because you don't see much fruit in the seeds that you've been planting or watering. Well, rest assured, the Spirit of the Lord who prompted you to plant those seeds is also one who causes growth to take place, even if it takes years. Well, Roger Babson Sr., well, he was about money, power, and position. But even a person like him, well, the Spirit of the Lord touched his heart and now touched the heart of his son, George Rideout Jr., and reaching him in discipleship now all the way in Waterville, Maine at Colby College. When we come back from our break, you're going to hear more from George. Yes, born in Boston, raised in Wellesley Hills. Father worked with Roger Babson, but it was a Billy Graham crusade. The gospel was preached. Well, today, the message of the love of Christ is shared with you too. My friend, where's your heart? What's brewing in your heart? Do you hear him? Can you hear the Lord calling you? Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Thanks for being with us today. Maybe you're tuning in right now or caught the tail end of the last segment, the Good Life radio program here. You can find out more about this program at drdanny.live. You want to find out more about George Rideout Jr. and one of the foundations that he leads, Open Church Foundation, go to openchurch.org. We'll talk about that in a few moments. He was sharing before our break about how he came to faith in Jesus Christ, but how important follow-up was and how God used the ministry at Colby College. George, what happened in the follow-up and how did that relate to you meeting a woman by the name of Mary?
So the Billy Graham Crusade sent my name up to Colby Christian Fellowship. And I got a knock on my dormitory door one evening, and it was Herb Luxon. He worked for Scott Paper Company in Waterville, and he was the advisor to the group. And he told me that they had this Colby Christian Fellowship on campus, and it was only 1 year old. And he said it was all girls. And he said they had prayed for a whole year for a guy. So perhaps I was an answer to their prayer. Because when I arrived to Colby, I was not a Christian. I was not ready to be a part of their group. But I had gone down at the end of September to the crusade and come to Christ, and now I was ready to become a part of this group. So I was really blessed to be under the Luxon's care. They began to teach me how to read the Bible for myself and how to pray, and I joined the InterVarsity group. We had Bible studies every week, and it was just amazing and wonderful. Mary came along the next year. She lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and she had come to Colby because she liked the cold weather. She wanted to ski. And so she arrived the next year. She had become a Christian through the Billy Graham Evangelist Association the same year I did, 1 month before I did. Her family went to the New York World's Fair in Manhattan in August 1964. She went to the Billy Graham Pavilion, and when they gave an invitation after the film, she told her parents and sister, "I'm going forward. You can stay here if you want, but I'm going forward." So she went up and she met with the counselor, and he led her to a prayer to accept Christ into her life. And so she didn't come to Colby till another year after that. But when she came, she was a believer, and her name was sent ahead of time to Colby as well. And so the girls were looking for her, and they found her when she wrote out a check for buying books, you know, Mary Weller, and says, "Hey, we've been looking for you." And so she became a part of the group. We were both math majors. We were in the same math class, junior level, differential equations. She was a freshman. I was a sophomore in this junior level class. And we spent the whole year in the Colby Christian Fellowship together. But the advisor to the group told me that you need to just be like a brother to all these girls. And treat them like sisters in Christ. So I treated Mary like a sister in Christ. And I didn't do any dating that year. At the end of the year, Mary told us that she is going to exit from Colby College and go back to the University of Michigan. Two reasons. Well, she didn't tell me one of the reasons, but one reason was because she started so high up in math that there weren't going to be enough courses for her to have enough credits to be a math major. And then the other reason I found out later was that there was this guy named George Rideout, Jr., that she liked, but he didn't date. So why stick around? So she took off. Fortunately, she came back in February the following year to see the Colby group again. And I told myself, I missed the boat once. I'm not going to miss it twice. I found her in the math building coming out of a class. I says, "Hey, Mary, how would you like to go out for dinner tonight?" She said, "Sure. Do you want me to invite the other girls?" She thought we wanted to have a reunion. I said, "No, it's just you and me." She says, "Oh, okay." So we went out for a three-hour dinner, and I found out that she's going to be a camp counselor that coming summer. I was going to be at John Hancock Life Insurance Company in their summer actuarial program. So I wrote her a letter, and I said, "Mary, tell me about grad school, actuarial grad school at University of Michigan, last line. Would you mind if I come up and see you one weekend?" She wrote back and said, "Sure, come up every weekend." So I went up for 7 weekends to see her, and we were doing some serious dating now.
What would you say, George, were some of the qualities of Mary Weller that struck you, struck your heart?
Okay. Mary was very outgoing. She loved people, and she loved Jesus, and her faith just came out of her in wonderful ways. And she was intelligent. She took 4 AP courses in high school. Her Her uncle, Tom Weller, was a Nobel laureate for discovering the polio vaccine and the chickenpox virus. And he was here in Needham, Massachusetts. So her family is all, her dad was a medical professor in University of Michigan. So she's very intelligent. She loved math. I loved math. And we just really hit it off. We just loved each other. And I invited her out for Thanksgiving to meet my family. We got engaged and ended up getting married when I graduated the following summer.
So you're married. And how did God lead you to the mission field?
So our family, you know, we went to church in Wellesley. And when we all came to Christ in that crusade, my parents decided we need to go to Park Street Church and talk to Dr. Harold Ockengay about our situation. And we took the whole family in. We met in his office. And they shared of their coming to Christ and all these kids, new believers. And Dr. Ockengay said, if it was just my mother and father, I would tell you to stay at that church and to be a light for Christ. But you've got all these kids, and they need to be taught the scriptures. So I recommend you come into Park Street. So we joined Park Street Church that Christmas of my freshman year. And Park Street is a very missions-minded church. And every year they had a 10-day long missions conference. And I came down to two of those when I was at Colby College. And at the second one, I heard a man named Howard Dowdell up in the pulpit saying, we need mathematics teachers at Tickham College, Egby, Nigeria. And I was sitting there as a math major. I was planning to be an actuary at John Hancock, but the Lord spoke to my heart and said, hey, you could be a missionary as a math major. And I never put those two together before. So I met Howard for lunch. He told me about SIM, about Nigeria. I ended up applying. When I was dating Mary, I told her, I think I'm being called to be a math teacher in Nigeria. And she said, are you sure you're not called to Alaska? Remember, Mary likes cold weather, Colby College, not hot Nigeria. I said, no, I think it's Nigeria. She was wonderful, and she agreed to go with me to Nigeria for 18 years.
18 years in Nigeria. Would you share at least one of the indelible lessons that you and Mary learned as a married couple on the mission field?
We grew in our faith. We were young Christians. We'd only been married a year. We went to the mission field. We were green. We were on a team of five, two couples and a single lady. The single lady was a 10-year veteran, Millie Mosby. The other couple, and Mary and I, were brand new missionaries. So we were blessed to have Millie be our next door neighbor. We lived in a duplex with her. And she had a wonderful relationship with Christ. She had taught students for 10 years. And she taught us how to be effective missionaries together as a couple to these students. We worked in the Biafran War area for 2 years. These students had been hiding in the jungle for 3 years or were forced to fight in the army for 3 years. And they were coming back to school now. And they were spiritually hungry. So we had to go to Millie and say, how do we help these kids? And she said, it'll probably take 2 years to get through to these kids. But I was telling myself, Millie, we only have 2 years. It's a 2-year project. I don't believe the Lord led us here to see no fruit in 2 years. So praise God. In 3 months, the first student came to Christ. And then it just went through the whole school like wildfire, and there were students after students coming to Christ. I formed a Christian group, a gospel team, outreach team, and we got to see God do an amazing work in these students' lives. In the 2 years there, we saw over 400 kids give their lives to Christ as a result of the ministry.
Amazing work. Sounds like a revival broke out
right
there on the mission field at the school. When we come back, George, let's spend a few moments talking. I'm intrigued by the working of the Spirit. But these were battle-torn, battle-worn students, young people. How did some of the healing take place within their minds and their hearts as you ministered to them? You're listening to George Rideout. You can find out more about George, some gospel tracks at openchurch.org. Stay with us. We'll be back with George Rideout Jr.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No." She began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped, and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house, and at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross. Cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Most of the Rideout family came to Christ. The George Rideout Jr. and Sr. family came to Christ during the 1964 Billy Graham Crusade in the old Boston Garden. When George Jr. was a freshman at Colby College, his family became members of Park Street Church that year and joined in a varsity Christian fellowship at Colby. Both were influential in directing his life into missions. We talked about missions before the break. Missions in Nigeria. They were newlyweds. His wife, Mary, always wanted to live in cold weather, but she ended up in Nigeria out of obedience to God. And George spoke about ministering to students. You can find out more about George Rideout at George Rideout Jr., openchurch.org. And look, if you want to find out more about our program, go to drdanny.live. George, battle-torn, battle-worn young people, students that you're teaching. A revival is breaking out, but what about their battle scars on their hearts, on their minds, on their souls? How did God bring healing?
Yeah. So these students were spiritually hungry because of all that they had gone through. I mean, we had one student. He was one of 11 in his family. During the Biafran War, all his siblings were killed and his parents were killed during the war. And he was the only one that survived. And so he was an orphan, and the chief of the village decided to adopt him, and so the chief became his father. So he came to our school, and as an orphan, adopted by the chief, and when he heard, you know, the gospel message, you know, he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and that really helped him deal with the loss that he experience during his lifetime. And there's, you know, every student had a story, you know, of their own about how they went through the 3 years of the war, how they survived, how many of their relatives died during the war. And they were just grateful that they had a chance to come back to school because they hadn't been in school for 3 years. And so it was a teacher's dream to teach these students because they were the most eager students you ever want to have. And Mary and I both were teaching math classes, physics, and if we ever had a free period, the students would say, keep teaching us. If they didn't have another teacher coming, keep teaching us. We need to learn. We need to get ready for our West African exams. We've been out of school for 3 years. Would you help us? So it was a privilege to work with these kids both academically and spiritually.
So you mentioned a two-year window. Mm-hmm. One of your colleagues said, well, it's going to take 2 years. It took 2 years to adjust.
Right.
It was 3 months, and you saw one of them come to Christ. But you were there for 18 years. What were some of the changes that took place during that 18-year period on the mission field?
Okay. So the first change was that we switched schools after those 2 years. Our mission had worked with the government, and they said this will be a two-year project, and then you'll be leaving. So after that, we went up north to Beleri Secondary School for a year. The government took over that school and said we had to leave after a year. So then we went to Tickham College, Egby, for 7 years, where three more of us kids were born. Amy was born down in River State the first 2 years. Our kids are all 2 years apart. We're a mathematical family. Mary and I are math majors, so we made sure they were all 2 years apart so they can enjoy each other growing up. Then we, after those 7 years at Tickham College, we went up to Kent Academy up north to teach at the MK school, Missionary Kids School. And our kids were in that school as students, and we were teaching them math and other subjects as well. So we had four different situations. Each one was really different, and each one was a special blessing. I'd love to talk about the Kent Academy a little bit, the school for missionary kids. When we got there, it was about 150 students. Half were missionary kids and half were nationals, Nigerians. They were pastors' children, evangelist children. And we allowed maybe 5% of international businessmen coming into the country to let their students stay at Kent Academy. It was a boarding school, so the parents dropped their kids off. And most of those kids were not Christians, and they were living in this Christian environment. We taught Bible classes. There was devotions in the dormitory. There was a chapel on campus. We had Sunday services, Sunday school. And I'll just tell you about one of those students, Andreas Patkai from Hungary. He came to us as a non-believer, but while he was at Kent Academy, he came to faith in Jesus Christ. He went back to Hungary after graduating from our school. He went to a high school, a Catholic high school and a Catholic university when he returned to Hungary. And he was so grounded in his faith at Kent Academy that he was able to speak to his teachers, his professors, regarding the Christian faith and the doctrine. And he had many, many interesting discussions with his professors and teachers. He joined a church of 10,000 members. And he went to one meeting of the pastor and the elders. And he told them what a blessing Kent Academy had been to him and to his coming to Christ and to maturing in Christ at that school. And he left the meeting, and the pastor and the elders said to each other, that was a wonderful testimony. We don't have a Christian school in Hungary. We need to start a Christian school. And they did. Mary and I went to visit in 2002, and at that time, they had started the school, and there were 2,500 students in their Christian school going from K to 8th grade. That was in 2002. They were still looking for more land to expand their school. I don't know how big it is today.
Talk about fruit from that two-month period when you first went 18 years at the beginning of your missionary journey, and then the kind of fruit that has been born immeasurably more than, George Rideout, you could ever have imagined. It reminds us of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You returned, you and Mary returned, you became part of a program, a foundation that your father worked on strategically with Roger Babson, Open Church Foundation. What is Open Church Foundation, and what would someone find at openchurch.org?
Okay. The Open Church Foundation was started by Roger Babson. He grew up in Gloucester, Massachusetts, and he lived in Wellesley. He used to visit his hometown, and one day during the middle of the week, he had a problem. So he's walking down Middle Street, and he saw St. John's Church over on the right. He decided to go try the door of the church, and the door opened. He went into the church and sat down for an hour and a half, meeting with God, reading his Bible, praying, and the solution to his problem came to him while he was sitting in that church. And he said, "This is wonderful." And he said, "Every church in America should open up during the week, not just on Sundays." And so in 1942, he said, "Let's start a foundation called the Open Church Foundation, and our goal will be to get churches across America to open their doors during the week." He was very successful. They had 17,000 churches opening up their doors across America during the 40s and 50s and 60s. And it was a blessing. I've got a whole file of testimonies of people going into these churches and saying what a blessing it was. You know, midnight, I got a problem. Drive up to the church, open the door, go in, meet with God, and see how God answered their prayers and met their needs through this open door in the church. And Roger Babson wanted literature to be in these churches right from the beginning. So he started a tract ministry, which we continue on today. So on our website, if you go to openchurch.org, you will see over 100 different pamphlets, tracts available on the website. You can open them up on the website, read them, be blessed by that. You can order them off the website, and we will ship them out to you. You can use them in your own personal ministry. Some of these people go to prisons and use them, others hospital work. People use them in greeting cards, Christmas cards, get well cards, all kinds of opportunities, crisis pregnancy, outreach, and so forth. So this ministry continues on, and we're available to help any of you with your tract needs. We're here to get God's word out, and we'd love to have you be a part of that.
You're listening to George Rideout, Jr. He's talking about openchurch.org. That's where you can get an array of tracts, resources that could facilitate your outreach. Like he said, you could tuck that in many different places, hand it off, give it away, and let the Word of God speak through the stories, through the explanations, and the captivating way these gospel presentations are presented. When we come back in our final segment, how did the Lord help George and Mary through difficult times on the mission field? Are you going through a difficult time? Are you challenged right now? Do you feel like your back is against the wall, not knowing what to do? Are you feeling lonely? Do you have a health issue that took you by surprise? Maybe a financial dilemma? Well, the Lord knows all things. He loves you. And he sends George Rideout to speak heart to heart. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A Electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience The Good Life
George
today.
George and Mary Rideout served for 18 years as missionaries in Nigeria. They raised four children, Amy, Drew, Ian, and Kevin. They returned. George was a part of and continues over 34 years now with the Open Church Foundation and the Gravity Research Foundation. Before we talk about Veritas Christian Academy, George, when you were on the mission field, how did the Lord help you through difficult times? Someone today might be struggling, might be in a lurch of life. How did the Lord help you, and what might that say to someone who's in that tight spot?
Okay, I'll tell you about one of the most difficult moments when we were teaching at Kent Academy in Nigeria. Our oldest son, Drew, came down with an illness. He was in third grade, and he had to stop going to school. He had no energy. All he could do was just lie in bed. And we didn't know what was wrong with him. We had a visiting doctor, one of our missionary doctors from Niger, come down for a vacation, and we asked him to take a look at Drew, and he examined him, and he said, I don't know exactly what's going on here, but I think you need to send him back to Boston, to Children's Hospital, and have them check him out. So one of the most difficult moments was for me to pick up my son Drew in my arms and carry him up into that airplane and deposit him in one of the seats. He didn't have the energy to walk up the stairs. And so Mary went home with Drew, and I stayed in Nigeria with our three other kids so that they could finish school. They sent Drew to Boston Children's Hospital for a whole week, and they examined him, did every test possible, and they couldn't find out what was going on. They contacted our mission doctor down in New York City, told him what was happening, and he said, I think Drew has post-infectious encephalitis. Today, we would probably call it chronic fatigue. And that's exactly what he did have. And we came home in June, the whole family, and Drew was just lying on the couch. He couldn't do anything. So this was heart-wrenching for us. But all we could do is pray and trust in the Lord and to see us through this situation. Finally, middle of July, Park Street Youth were going to make a trip to Washington, D.C. The youth leader came out to see Drew. Says, hey, Drew, you want to come with us? He perked up, and he got the energy to say, yes, I'm going to do this. And he went on that trip to Washington, D.C., and he came back doing much better, and he went on to school again, and today Drew is doing very well. He's a pediatric surgeon, Tampa General Hospital in Florida, and he's got a heart for missions, and he does mission surgery down in Honduras four times a year, specializing in colon surgery for children. So that was a very difficult time for us to go through, but God brought us through, and we praise God.
As you share that story, it touches someone in a unique, in a personal way. Will you pray, George, for someone who is facing a difficult moment like that, maybe having to put a loved one on an airplane or to say goodbye or to have to deal with a situation that feels overwhelming? Would you pray for that dear brother or sister or a dear friend who's listening to our show this moment?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are Lord of this world, that you created heaven and earth, and you created each one of us. We thank you, Lord, that you know all things, and you know each of our hearts and our situations. Lord, we know that you love us and you care about us. Jesus showed us that when he lived out his ministry on earth, meeting with people one-on-one, caring for them, healing them, and bringing hope to their lives. And so I pray for whoever is out there today who's experiencing some difficulty, Lord. I pray that you will be wonderfully meeting them and speaking to their hearts. Help them to open your scriptures, speak to them through your word. And Lord, I pray that you will hear their prayers and their cries and answer them, bring healing and hope to whatever situation they're facing right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dear one, the Lord has indeed sent George right out to be with us, with you, in this moment to remind you that you're not alone and that there is hope in Christ, no matter how tough things might seem to be right now, how daunting they are. The Lord heals the brokenhearted. He gives strength to those who are weary. So, dear one, know that the Lord is with you and the Lord cares. George, you and Mary have cared for young people throughout your lives, your own family, yes, of course. But whether it's young people in Nigeria or even here in the Boston area, the greater Boston area, speak to us for a moment. We've got a few minutes left. About Veritas Christian Academy. How did that get started, and what's happening today?
When Mary and I were teaching at Kent Academy, we felt God speaking to us that one day he would have us start a school somewhere. We didn't know when or where that might happen. When we came back to the States, we went to Park Street Church for 1 year, then we came out to Westgate Church in Weston. Mary became head of Christian education. And the mothers were meeting downstairs by the nursery one Sunday morning, and they were talking about the lack of a Christian school to teach their kids in. One of the mothers turned to Mary and said, "Mary, you're a teacher, you start a school." That's what we had been waiting for, to get a cue from the Lord that he wanted us to start a school. We met with Pastor Sam Hollow and the elders and told them the vision God had given us. And they agreed to move ahead. So we opened the doors miraculously to Westgate Christian Academy in 1995. And we started with the first year with only 7 students, kindergarten, first grade, 2 teachers, Mary principal, no salary the first year. And we went through the first year, and then every year we added another grade till we went up to 8th grade. My wife, Mary, unfortunately came down with cancer in 2003. She stopped being principal of the school. And we continued on with other principals, and it became Veritas Christian Academy in 2010 through various circumstances. So today, Veritas Christian Academy is in Wayland, Massachusetts. This year we have 195 students, 37 staff. I'm chairman of the board, and it's amazing. I invite you to go to the website, veritasma.org, veritasma.org, and see the testimonies of the students on that website, the purpose for the school. It's an incredible school, and I'm so thankful to be a part of it. I think of Mary all the time and her hard work in getting it started, and the blessing it is to so many families now in the Metro West of Boston.
VeritasMA.org. When you think about Mary and her work, her vision, your vision, and the fruit that is being born today, what wells up in your heart, George Rideout?
I remember our marriage verse, Psalm 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We found that when we were dating that summer up in China Lake Baptist Camp. I still wear my wedding ring, although Mary passed away almost 16 years ago. And the verse is on my wedding ring, the reference. And so I think of the verse, I think of Mary all the time in the work with Veritas. And I just am thankful for her life and for her hard work. And I hope she's watching me from heaven and still is joining me somehow in this work with Veritas Christian Academy. She's a rich blessing to all our family. We all miss her. We thank God for her life and her testimony.
One of the marvels of the grace of God is the legacy he allows us to partake in, the spiritual legacy of the ministry of the gospel that goes on for eternity. Mm-hmm. And you and Mary and all those at Veritas Christian Academy are a part of that. And God only knows the marvelous things to come through the seeds that are being planted in the hearts and minds of the young people that are being nurtured there at Veritas Christian Academy. VeritasMA.org. George Rideout, thank you so much for being with us today, sharing your precious time and your heart. Thank you.
Thank you.
Encouraging words from George Rideout Jr., OpenChurch.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there. To join our prayer team or partner with us financially, visit drdanny.live. And I want to thank you in advance. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to George Rideout Jr., OpenChurch.org. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, God bless you.